Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture. And we're on.
And we're on.
Hey, everyone. I'm Liam the daughter.
I'm Lauren the mom.
Welcome to Goosebumps Week.
Woo!
Woo!
So fun.
Oh my God. You sounded exactly like Ice in Hocus Pocus when he goes, woo! I hope someone knows what I'm talking about.
Hey, that guy all grown up. Cute.
You know what? Yeah.
He's told me multiple times.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We have discussed that.
Is he strumming on a cello? Do you strum on a cello? I don't know.
Slapping the bass.
Good start. Good start. I do have some pumpkin beer for
you. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So it will be one of those episodes.
There you go.
You know what? It's Goosebumps
Unhinged.
Week. Unhinged.
Yeah.
It's Goosebumps Week.
It is.
I, you know, talked you into this.
You
because
did.
Because this is a 90s topic. So, you know, lore was kind of unfamiliar.
Totally out to lunch.
But you know what? Before we get into it, I do want to, something happened to me this week that gave me goosebumps. And I just have to tell you about it a little bit. So me and Jake ran down to the dollar store for something for our Halloween costumes, which we came up with a really good costume this year. I'm really excited about it. And we're walking the aisles. And you know what? I love a dollar store. Mm-hmm. Some of them are great. Some of them are real rough. Okay, real rough.
Hit or miss.
It looks like a zombie apocalypse blew through there. It's just chaos. And this is one of those. This is probably one of the worst I've seen.
Was it?
So we're walking through the aisles. You know, I'm already a little like, all right, there's like some funkadunk here and there. But and we're walking. And I spot a deodorant stick on a shelf where it shouldn't have been.
Oh, you know,
I think we were like in the Halloween aisle. So I'm like, what's a deodorant stick doing here? Okay. And it was missing a lid. So right off the bat, a little questionable. And I get a little closer. Why? I don't know. But I was like, what's going on here? There was hair on it. There was hair on it.
Was it someone's personal stick that they just, you know,
have to leave? So many questions.
Are they just borrowing it?
Was it
from the shelf?
That's what I mean. Did you go to the dollar store and you needed a stick? And so you used it, but you didn't, you know, just
swipe,
and then you
swipe.
Just left it there.
Yeah.
Or did you bring it from home?
Use it mid shop.
And then you just left it there.
Yeah,
by
like
accident.
Maybe it was somebody that worked there and they were running late to work.
You know what you're
and
saying?
And they swipe and set it down on the shelf.
And then it got lost in the chaos.
And they forgot about it because they were in a hurry.
You
they
know what?
They slept
That's
through the
legitimate,
clock.
Right?
I've got
a Yeah, it was really hairy. I was like pretty mortified. And I don't get grossed out easily, but I was like, that's pretty nasty. You know what I mean?
Deodorant
that's
stick
not
chia
what
pet.
I want to see amid my candy corn. You know what? I'm just trying to get a little festive. No one needs to be met with that.
Yeah,
that felt personal.
The new Halloween chia pet.
Ew, it literally looked like it. I bet it's still there. I guarantee you, I would put money on the fact.
If you go,
if you go there. Having been like a week later, it'll still be
it'll
there.
It'll still be there.
It'll still, and I think it was like a speedy stick. So it was like, you know, the real,
Jake
the
says,
real crusty.
Right guard.
Right
now.
Away.
Right now.
It would be
they couldn't
ass.
Wait. They couldn't wait.
You just can't wait to get this on your armpit. Gotta break out mid fucking Dollar General shop. It did give me goosebumps. I just had to share. I told Jake, I was like, at what cost? You know what I'm trying to save a few bucks, but I have to deal with this. Funk. Funky.
Well, how's the Halloween decor?
Not too bad. And not too bad.
Really?
Yeah, I got over it pretty quick because I was like, ooh, pumpkins. Yeah, not too bad.
There you go.
I would definitely check it out. I was looking for a doormat too.
Is that right?
You know what? We need a new spooky doormat for year round.
Of course.
And with that, I guess we can just get into it. I will leave you all with that. I'll be thinking about that for
a long time
for
to
a
come.
Few years at
there
least.
There you go.
Hey, go check out our Patreon.
Yes.
We do have a new patron to thank.
We do.
Willow.
Oh, welcome.
I absolutely love that name. Fun fact, that was, you know, in the running for October's name.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was on the list of stuff we liked. Just a gorgeous name. You know what? It is after Buffy. Let's just call let's just be honest. That is where I
And I was thinking of, you know, Willow.
You're talking about the movie Willow.
Yes.
You do love that one.
I do love that one. That's exactly where my mind went. You went to Buffy.
I love that. Hey, go check out the Patreon. Yes. There's a lot of cool stuff going on over there. The live chat with all of our patrons. It's a fun time.
And Full Moon Film Club.
Full Moon Film Club is coming up.
Yep.
And we're going to talk Goosebumps tonight with the $25 and up. So just go check it out.
Yes.
Speaking of Goosebumps,
yes.
Obviously that's the theme of today. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into it in a sec, but it is a 90s topic.
Correct.
And I do want to mention that the In Search of Darkness 90 to 94 is available for pre-order now. So we will put the link in our show notes.
Yeah.
It's an affiliate code, so it does help Uncle Bob's out too. So if you are interested in learning about the 90s, if you love documentaries, this one's definitely for you. It's like an in-depth look.
You know, I love a documentary.
Yeah, at 90s horror.
Yeah.
And that is our theme of today.
Mm-hmm.
So you're ready to get into it?
I'm so excited.
I do want to mention we're not, you know... We do know that there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now.
A lot
of very sad, scary stuff. So we are just going to focus on, you know, making you all laugh, having a good time, and letting you know that you are not alone and that you have someone. You have two people.
Here
three
we are.
With Fact Check Jake. Four, yeah. October 5, Nanook. You've got a little crowd of people over here. You are not alone. We love you.
Yes.
And we're just going to try to make you giggle.
There
Does that
we
sound
go.
Good?
We're going to give it a whirl. I said that with such confidence.
You really did.
Didn't I?
All right. As always, I'm going to kick it off.
Okay.
I have the first topic.
Of course.
We decided to each pick two Goosebumps books we're trying to bring more books in.
We are.
I won't lie. We did also watch the VHS tapes.
We did. And they were vastly different.
Vastly different than the books. So yeah, we read the books.
Yes.
Which I had. And then we watched the VHS tapes. Which
out of your clamshell.
I believe I have had those clamshells since I was young. I do have a picture
you
of
did.
Me clinging
to the clamshell.
Clinging to my Goosebumps clamshell on Christmas morning. So Goosebumps is very, you know what? It's important to me.
Near and dear.
Wow. Oh my God. Wow.
Good one.
That was a really good one.
I give that a 6
do
out of 10.
Do you think I could have my own like soundboard? Like
just
Lee's
burping.
Burps, because they are pretty fucking
they
epic.
They are pretty epic.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Goosebumps is important to me. I'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it now and I'll say it again later.
I'll say it forever.
I'm pretty sure I can speak for all like 90s, early 2000s kids when I say like, this is a big one, right?
Takes you back to your youth.
You know what? It takes me back.
You know?
Lord, let me be young.
Lord, let me be young.
If only for a day. If only for a day. But you, is this like your first real like experience with Goosebumps? Yes.
I mean, obviously I know Goosebumps. I, you know, when I sat and watched the episode and saw the,
I remembered it a little bit,
but yeah, it's definitely not my jam,
right.
But you know,
definitely more my age and younger, but you know what? Let's talk about why.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to start with book one.
Mm.
Okay. Book one of the original Goosebumps series is Welcome to Deadhouse. Okay, first published in July of 1992, along with the second and third books.
Okay.
For those who aren't familiar, Goosebumps is a series of horror novels written by author R.L. Stein.
Yes.
Okay, the books and episodes all focus on ordinary children who are going up against some extraordinary things.
Supernatural.
Supernatural. Monsters, evil, creepy shit. I don't know. Like you said, all things supernatural.
Yes.
I did cover R.L. Stein in Witch Whisper 28. Whoa. Talk about going way back. I did
Holy
listen
crap.
To it. My voice sounded younger.
Did you?
I may have had a weep. I may have weeped. Major weeper.
Wept. I wept about that.
Yeah. So go listen to that if you want to learn more about like him specifically.
Yeah.
But the book series was pretty much an instant hit when it released in 92.
Mm-hmm.
And it really made R.L. Stein a spooky household name because prior to that, he wasn't really doing spooky stuff. You can go you know, learn about that.
But one thing I do remember from the 90s is when you would bring home those Scholastics and we would sit at the table and pore over them and check which ones you wanted, put your little money in the envelope, and then you'd come home with books and you were so excited.
I loved a fucking Scholastic book fair. A book fair.
You were always waiting for them.
I see it in my dreams sometimes, not even being funny. Like, I think it was a very safe space for a lot of kids my age. Yeah, you were just free to like roam and learn. Yes. And it was just so fun getting yourself a little treat. And I did always get myself like a Goosebumps. Goosebumps was big around that exact same time. Right. So you always, I had bookmarks. Oh my God, I loved a Goosebumps bookmark.
All the tchotchkes.
A TV show by the same name, Goosebumps, kicked off in 1995 and ran until 1998. So that's when I say we watched the VHS tapes. Okay. Right. And it was also a highly praised hit, one of the highest rated shows in the US and Canada at the time.
Wow.
So from there, there were lots more books, show spinoffs, merchandise out the fucking ass. Like we're talking about literally, it was all over the place, and even movies. Ooh. A Goosebumps movie starring the one and only Jack Black as R.L. Stine was released in 2015 and then was followed by a sequel in 2018. Have you seen those?
I haven't seen them,
I haven't seen them either. I think I tried to watch the first one. Jack Black? I think so.
Wow. I'm going to have to check
them
out.
I tried to watch the first one and I fell asleep, not to roast it.
Wow.
Here's the thing.
It's falling into the category of Jaws.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. And I don't quote me because I could be wrong. I feel like I'm not a big like CGI person and I feel like it maybe had some of that in it. I'm pretty too old much. School. You know what? Not to age myself yet again. Where's Ray Harryhausen?
Hey, that's my
stop
line.
Motion.
That's my... Give me the California raisins.
Oh, my God. God, yeah, exactly. That's my vibe. I'm definitely giving California raisin vibe.
You heard it here, folks. Leanne wants to recover Clash of the Titans.
I will.
Up Friday.
I will, and I'll focus on Ray and not, you know, Greek mythology that haunts me. It just is everywhere. Okay, and as of today, Friday the 13th, there is a new Goosebumps series on Hulu. We didn't know about this. I didn't know about this. You didn't. We have weird simpatico things like that happen all the time. So there you go. Obviously, this series and brand cannot be stopped. Okay, it's just continuing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about why.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a little rundown on the impact of Goosebumps because I thought maybe some people didn't. No, like right. you said, this was not really
not my
your thing. So I thought
generation.
Let's talk about why this is so important to us '90s kids.
Talk about your generation. I don't know. I made that up.
was that a who? Were you trying to be the who?
Maybe. How did I do?
I don't know. Even when I got there, I got
you were there.
I did get there. So you know what? Clink to that. Okay, after the rise in the popularity of horror movies throughout the 80s into the 90s, Goosebumps came in swinging with a new trend. Okay, horror stories geared specifically towards kids.
Whoa.
We've talked about this a few times.
We have.
It was and is generally assumed that kids don't like to be scared, right? Who the fuck wants to be scared? So
true.
At the time, you usually only saw scary stuff being promoted to like teens and older.
Right.
But as we've learned through topics like scary stories to tell in the dark, that was a big thing there. Kids are going to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, kids are scared. That's just part of being a human. You're going to be scared. It does fucking suck. But they need a safe way to work through those feelings and those fears because they're going to be there regardless.
Right.
Stories like Goosebumps provide fun, harmless scares that leave the reader on the edge of their seat, all while remaining light and fun. Okay, they are the perfect balance of age-appropriate spookiness and silliness.
Right.
And like specifically the show, it was so fucking cheesy. Like you
the
almost
cheese was high.
It was spooky, but anytime you like almost got a little too freaked out, you were like, you saw a cheesy effect and you were like, oh, I'm back. I'm grounded back
here
in reality. So it really was like this perfect blend. With that said, it may be surprising to some that the series' target audience was and is kids ages 7 to 13.
7-13.
Eight, right.
Shocking.
And Stein nailed the tone needed for like this group by watching his son and his friends.
Oh, cute.
So he just saw what kind of like...
what they were doing.
What they were scared of. And then he wrote it into their stories.
Interesting.
The stories really did inspire a generation of horror lovers. I can speak to that. Yeah. Okay. If you grew up in the 90s or early 2000s and were into spooky shit at all, I'm sure Goosebumps is partially...
was on the docket.
Think.
Yeah.
Speaking from personal experience, they did make kids want to read more. Like, I there love was that. Something about it. Like, especially, you know me, I love the art. Mm-hmm. And the artwork on the covers was so stunning. And then you had the number on the side of the book. And so you wanted to collect them.
Yes.
You wanted to collect them. Yeah. You wanted to read them. And then when the show came out, you were kind of like, well,
now I got to watch it.
I like this episode. Now I have to go read the book. Like, it really did get kids into reading.
I love that.
And like you said, it hit with the Scholastic Fair.
Oh, yeah. Mwah.
I do have here that the illustrator's name is Tim Jacobus. I'm sure I said
Tim Jacobus.
Jacobus?
Jacobus? Dr. Jacoby.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, Tim Jacoby. I don't know. The series,
No relation.
The series paved the way for tons of dark yet whimsical stories, many of which we've covered, like Coraline or the Spiderwick Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
And the love and want for Goosebumps is as strong as ever, as evident by the new show. So I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon.
Making a resurgence.
I feel like
it I don't feel like it ever went away.
Can it be considered a comeback if you never went away, Lore?
It's
the age old question.
Is it better to fade out?
Is it better to burn out than to fade away?
Yeah.
As to why Goosebumps remains so popular after all these years, Stein has said, quote unquote, "The thing about Goosebumps is they could have been written when I was a kid. Because our fears never change. We are still afraid of the dark, afraid something's lurking under the bed, afraid of getting lost, afraid of being somewhere we've never been before."
Mm,
right? Like so that kind of doesn't change.
RL, you sing it.
You know what, RL? At this point, there have been around 240 Goosebumps books published.
Holy shit.
I think it was like 62 in the original series. 62. And then there were like... I don't know, at least like six or seven different series.
Wow. And all written by him.
I think so, yeah.
Holy shit.
And R.L. Stein is noted as one of the most commercially successful authors of all time.
Well, with that many books, no kidding.
I was going to say, right? Holy shit.
Do you go on vacation? Do you take a break? Jeez.
I think the answer is no. So with all of that said, I thought it would be fitting to dive into the very first Goosebumps book. So when I said we each got to pick, I did ask people on Instagram what their favorite Goosebumps book is. Mm-hmm. And this did come up a lot.
Did it?
So they came out of the gate pretty strong.
Nice.
And this is Welcome to Dead House.
Oh, I mean, spooky right there.
Yeah. According to Stein himself, this first book leans a little too scary because he didn't have enough humor mixed in yet.
Right.
Like he didn't have the formula down. Mm-hmm. So this may be like the scariest Goosebumps.
Of all the Goosebumps books.
Ooh. All right. So here is the Welcome to Dead House rundown. I do want to note there are several changes made from the book to its episode of the show. I will be focusing more on the book, even though I might have gotten confused because it all did start to blend together.
It all started running together. I agree.
All right. We start with brother and sister Amanda, who's 12, and Josh, who's 11, Benson.
Josh Benson.
No, but you know
did
what?
He have a Hartnett hair?
You know who does?
Who?
Fact check Jake. You know what? I looked in the
He's
other day
bringing
and
it
said,
back.
I said, you are giving me Hartnett a little bit. And then he airdropped me a really crusty picture of Danny Elfman today as payback. Because my Bob was looking a little Elfman. It was going Elfman. You know what? It is in season. I said I could be him
right
for
in.
Halloween
That's
like
right.
real easily.
Oh my God. He's so good.
No, like I really could just get one of those tattoos.
Boingo Boingo Danny or...
I could reenact the entire Dead Man's Party. I really could. You know I love it.
Do it.
Okay, anyway. Amanda and Josh, okay, they have just moved to a new town called Dark Falls with their parents. Not Darkness Falls.
It's always a red flag.
The kids absolutely hate their new house. Okay, immediately no. It was big, but creepy as hell. Okay, there's weeds everywhere. It's looking a bit rough because it's been abandoned for a while.
Whoa.
Another red flag.
Yikes.
Not starting off great. Plus, Amanda always feels cold when she's near the house. She gets a chill.
She gets some goosebumps.
Oh my God. Okay. Just like I did when I saw that hair on the... But she gets cold despite it being summer.
despite no deodorant stick.
Ew. I'll never look at deodorant the same. I do feel a little violated. I didn't ask to see it. Okay. Anyway, these kids have their dog Petey. Okay. And dog. The dog has been acting uncharacteristically aggressive since they arrived at the new house. But their parents basically tell them to get the fuck over it. Okay, because the house was free. It was free. A long lost great uncle, Charles, who they have never met, left it to the dad in his will.
Free 99.
Come on, 13 Ghosts. Another fucking red flag.
Oh my God. I've been wanting to watch that.
It is the best around this time of year. Okay, as they're getting a tour of their new pad from their weird real estate agent, Mr. Dawes. Mr. Dawes.
Mr. Dawes.
Mr. Dawes and Leary.
Oh my God. We're unhinged.
Okay, Amanda sees the ghost of a boy wander past her before disappearing down the hall. Uh-huh. Spooked, she asks Mr. Dawes if the house is haunted. She just comes right on out. Is this haunted? And he, of course, says no. He's like, absolutely not.
No.
So Amanda goes to find Josh and Petey to tell them what's going on. Mm-hmm. The dog, too. Need to tell the dog what's going on.
Gonna keep him up to speed.
But she can't find them anywhere. The fam takes a spin around the neighborhood to search for the duo, and Amanda notices that there are like no people out and about town. She's like, where is everyone?
It's a ghost town.
It's oddly quiet.
It's the house of wax.
Weirdly gloomy. Yeah, kind of. Weirdly gloomy and weirdly like pristine, especially mm-hmm. when you consider what their house looked like.
Right, right.
Not the same, right. Okay? They finally find Josh and Petey, who are both acting strange.
Uh-oh.
But they celebrate finding them and they shrug it off mm-hmm. and proceed with their move.
Right.
Okay, flash forward a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda and Josh have been hearing and seeing weird shit, having weird dreams, and have been growing increasingly uncomfortable in this house in town.
Uh-oh.
This part of the book, it's pretty creepy.
Is that?
I will say, they are really building the suspense here.
Right? Okay.
It's all made worse when they start meeting the off-putting town's kids, including Ray and Karen. Those are the two least threatening names.
Don't be such a Karen.
Hey, it's Ray and Karen. We're ghosts. Oh, I spoiled it.
Spoiler alert.
Oops, my bad. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're definitely alive.
Pay no attention.
They say that they used to live in the Benson's new house.
Okay.
They like keep saying this and it's like, okay, I fucking get it.
Gotcha.
Long story short, we eventually learn that Ray and Karen and the rest of the town's kids are all dead as hell.
Damn. Okay.
Act surprised because I did just spoil it.
I'm so surprised.
And they fucking killed Petey the dog.
What?
Yeah, they fucking... I was like, in a Goosebumps book.
Wow.
I was really upset.
That's why it's number one.
Rest in peace, Petey.
Damn,
rest in
R.I.P.
Peace. Ray says that they all tricked the family into coming to Dark Falls and the dead house because the town can't survive without fresh blood.
Not looking good for you guys. Damn.
Ray tries to kill Amanda. It goes from 0 to 100 pretty
Whoa.
Quick. But Josh saves the day by shining some light on old Ray's face.
His hair on old Ray's face.
Who's Ray? Ray has hair.
Josh Hartnett hair.
Oh my God. Would you let it go? Everyone named Josh is just immediately Josh Hartnett. Josh saves the day. Okay.
Yeah.
The light causes, you know, them to disintegrate. Don't question it. There's a final showdown between our duo and the dead kids mm-hmm. led by Mr. Dawes, who shocker is also dead. Who didn't see that coming? Dawes explains that the town used to be normal with normal living people who worked at a nearby plastic factory. And then one day a yellow gas
damn
escaped from the factory, hovered over the town and killed them all.
Oh jeez. Good night.
All I could think of was your fart that we caught after when I heard when I saw gas. It was flatulence.
That you captured on camera.
Great. It is on Patreon.
Yeah.
Now Dark Falls is a town of the living dead and they're trying to recruit Amanda and Josh to like feed, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And by recruit, I mean kill.
I gotcha. I was
you.
There okay. with you. Yeah.
You got it. Bro and sis say, no, thank you. And they manage to escape with their
dip
parents.
Dip out on that one.
I can't remember if it's the book or the show, but I think when they kill them, like their souls get released. I don't know. There's that element in there. As they go to leave, Amanda sees a family moving into the home.
Does she warn them? Does she tell them to get out?
Well, no, but she tells them, I used to live in that house. Just like the ghost said to her. So wouldn't that lead you to believe that she's dead? Ghost?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That's exactly where I'd
Some
be thinking.
Some people don't think that. The second I read that, I was like, oh, they're dead.
They're dead.
Because that's what the other ghost said. Or zombies, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever they were.
The family speeds away and presumed... presumably. Is that
you got
say
it? You got it.
Presumably leaves Dark Falls for good. But I do think they're dead. I think they're dead.
They Beetlejuiced it.
Oh my God. They did Beetlejuice it.
Did it?
Did it? Yeah.
Did they?
That is Welcome to Dead House.
Whoa.
10 out of 10, right? That's pretty good. Classic.
Pretty good.
Classic.
That's a good first try.
Right.
Scary.
A little spooky.
A little too scary for kids.
You know what? I was watching the episode. It is pretty spooky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the theme song is banging. It is goofy, especially when the dog barks. Bark, 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 bark.
When
bark,
his
bark.
Eyes turn yellow.
But the right? Yeah. But it is spooky.
But he's like a golden retriever and they're like the nicest dogs.
One would think, Lore. One
and then
would
his
think,
eyes start glowing.
But you never know. Then it gone into this episode and I was like, okay, you know what? This is a little freaky.
A little spooky.
So what is my lesson?
What is your lesson?
I already
lesson?
Told you about the impact of Goosebumps.
Yeah.
So my intention was to keep it a little light.
Yeah.
But it took me somewhere I wasn't expecting. And I'm really excited to share it with you.
Ew.
Okay. Most of the Goosebumps stories are based on or inspired by popular horror fiction, film, and tropes.
Ooh, right? Our favorites.
The monsters, the themes, the suspense, the scare tactics.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious, right? However, they are reimagined and reformatted so that they make sense to kids.
Love that.
So being silly and spooky. Yeah. Some are more obvious than others.
Okay.
So I thought it'd be fun to go through them and talk about the Goosebumps books that were inspired by, like, horror movies.
Classic
and contemporary.
I'm so excited.
All right, here's a little list.
Yeah.
The Goosebumps book, The Broad.
Smoking a cig.
The Blob that ate everyone is obviously inspired by
The Blob.
I'm going to let you
the
guess.
The OG.
Yeah, I'm going to let you guess. I mean, take your pick on The Blob.
Yeah, I'm going to go OG.
Okay, Why I'm Afraid of Bees.
Oh, Candyman?
No. Hey, good guess.
Good guess.
The Fly. I think someone turns into an insect.
Okay.
I think there's some kind of transformation.
Well, she should have been a Brundlefly then.
A Brundlefly. Not a bee. The best. It came from beneath the sink.
It came from beneath the sea?
Yes.
Whoa.
Ding, ding, ding. Lord.
Dude, what did I win?
A hug later?
Okay. I'll take it.
The Haunted Car.
The Haunted Ship?
What?
The Ghost Ship?
No.
The Haunted Car?
I think Stephen King.
Oh, Christine.
Christine Lore. Let's Get Invisible.
Let's get invisible. Visible. Olivia Newton-John.
I wanna get visible.
Let's get invisible.
Visible.
The Invisible Man.
Yes, Lore.
Yes.
I did write also inspired by Olivia Newton-John.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace. A Shocker on Shock Street. You're not going to get this one. It was inspired by the Deadly Mantis.
I thought it was going to be Shocker, starring Mitch Pileggi.
You know, that would be iconic.
What's your name? I don't know.
He'll never forget me. I did make an impression. Say Cheese and Die, that was like one of the ones people said was their favorite. It was inspired by a Twilight Zone episode.
Okay.
I answered for you.
Thank you.
Stay Out of the Basement. Do you want to answer that one?
Oh, yeah. It was Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Night of the Living Dummy.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living
it's
Dead and A Twilight Zone. Okay, so speaking of Night of the Living Dead,
yes.
Here is where my research took a turn.
All right.
The first story, as we've learned, definitely plays on the classic haunted house trope.
Okay? Yes.
But also it pulls from the zombie subgenre.
Ooh.
And where there are zombies,
There's George Romero.
Oh my God. So obviously the theme of our Halloween season this year is George A. Romero.
Yeah.
Because he keeps coming back in.
Just like Harry Houdini and Arthur Conan Doyle.
You know what? Add George A. Romero our Mount Rushmore. Welcome in.
Yes.
Oh my God. The Uncle Bob's Mount Rushmore.
Woo! I love that.
It would be Houdini, Doyle, Savini, Romero. That's pretty iconic.
That's
maybe
great.
Maybe Chris Angel.
No, I veto that.
What's he doing there? You know, he's the odd one out for sure.
You're the odd ball.
You're the odd one out. We did want to say that. So we were at that event. We were at the film festival this past weekend. And Laura, you got to interview Suze Romero.
I did. That's George's wife.
Yes. So keep a lookout for that. It's going to be, you know,
so
somewhere.
Exciting.
Lee's got to edit. That's going to tap the keys.
Hey, that tops the bucket list there.
Laura, you did so great. And
Thank you.
Was just absolutely lovely.
Go check
out the George A. Romero Foundation.
Yes.
GARF. Again, with that acronym, it's GARF. Banging. But we are going to talk about George A. Romero again today, and I didn't mean to.
Oh my goodness, so exciting.
Okay, so back in the 90s, before the show, I believe, 20th Century Fox's film division reached out to the godfather of zombies himself, George A. Romero, to bring Goosebumps to the silver screen.
You're kidding.
I'm not. So Romero was given a bunch of Goosebumps books to read through, even though he was already like a fan, thanks to his young son.
Aww.
And he said that he had a youthful spirit. So it spoke to him.
Cute.
Ouch. And George decided that the first one, Welcome to Deadhouse, would be the best fit for him and his style.
Oh, cute.
So Romero explained via a letter to his 20th Century Fox connection that I will link. You can go and read this letter. That he was excited to try writing horror for a younger audience, especially because his reputation would usually keep him from being able to do so.
Oh, that's so cool.
So that was in 1995. Mm-hmm. And we obviously never got that film, right? It had been left undeveloped for all of these years.
Wow.
But thanks to the George A. Romero / Horror Studies Archive at the University of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
We can all read the actual screenplay.
Dude,
you could read the whole screenplay.
So cool.
It is rather long, so I don't have time to like redo the whole thing because it was his take first book.
Oh, cool.
But here are some highlights from George's adaptation.
Wow.
It opens in a Pittsburgh mall arcade. And there is naturally some capitalism criticism slipped in the storyline.
Yes.
It does involve the living dead, and they are more zombies than ghouls.
Okay.
So in the book, I think they're always described as like ghouls.
Okay.
In Welcome to Deadhouse, in his, they were like very clearly
zombies.
Who would have thought? However, they are sympathetic zombies.
Okay. I like that.
Who are being forced to like get people and trap them to sustain the town's power. So leave it to Romero to make you feel bad for a zombie.
Of course.
Just like Bub from Day of the Dead.
I love him.
I love Bub.
Bub is cool.
The zombies of Dark Falls are afraid of the rain, not necessarily the light. That was like his own element because it like causes them to melt. So I think there were going to be
decompose
some like
a little quicker.
There were going to be some like body horror elements.
Yeah.
And the house does drain the family's life force
in
the book, in like Hill House. I thought like
yes.
that is that classic haunted
house.
Well,
when you
trope.
Said that, that's what came to my mind was the original Hill House.
The Hill House, yeah, it like feeds on them.
Yes, yes.
So if you would like to, I will link, you know, go check out. There's a lot of cool stuff
that's
on that
so cool.
archive website, but come on, we could have got a Romero Goosebumps.
That would have been awesome.
But
so what happened?
Do we I don't know. I can't figure out why.
Okay.
I don't know if it just got, you know, I mean, they didn't make the movie until what did I say? 2015.
Yes.
So it got put. Yeah. But I was like reading.
Remake.
People were talking about how it could have really like changed the trajectory of his career. So that could have been good. It could have been bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's really cool. Go read that letter too. It's really cool to see him in his own words say like, oh, I'd really like to, you know, write for kids. That's that is so important that they learn about horror. And
that's
I don't know.
Awesome.
It just once again makes me proud.
And his legacy
of our Pittsburgh icon. I love George A. Romero.
His legacy lives on through GARF.
It really does. So that is Welcome to Deadhouse. house.
That was so unexpected.
Were you shocked?
I'm totally shocked. You kept saying, I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not going to tell you.
You're like, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. I'm like, well, I know nothing of Goosebumps.
Because you were also researching. Yes. I was like, oh, she's going to stumble upon this. Yeah. But it was specific to my book.
We went two different directions.
Okay. I'm ready for yours.
Are you ready? Yeah. I'm up. All right. So I also have a Goosebumps book.
Yeah. We went themey. We are very into themes this year. Have you noticed that?
I mean, I'm always into a theme.
Is that just what happens when you start getting older? Am I just like, not to roast you?
No, I think from a young age, I was into themes.
Oh,
I think I've just grown on you.
You know what? You have a little bit. You've turned me into a theme person. Ooh. Okay, you know what? I love it. Goosebumps.
I love a theme, which is Goosebumps. So I have not read any of the books.
No, was this your first time reading a Goosebumps?
Yes,
I guess that makes sense.
It was. And so we put up the poll, like you said, and then it just so happened, given my plant love, that this one came up, which was book number two, called Stay Out of the Basement.
We were so people asked you specifically to do this one because obviously you and plants, but then I was like, oh my God, we're doing one and two. That worked out so perfectly.
That worked out well. Yeah. So also published in 1992, again, the second of the 62 books in the series.
Yes.
In the original series.
Yeah.
All right. So you said, like, Stein seemed to hit on this formulaic stride with the second book because the first was a little too scary.
A little bit. Came out a little too spooky.
Yeah. And he realized with the second book that by adding some humor, that was his golden ticket. I mean, he wasn't like intentionally trying to scare the pants off of kids.
Right.
So whenever there was a scene about to get a little too spooky, he tossed in a little humor cushion the blow.
Yeah.
Became a magic formula for him.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. So just looking at the cover of the artwork, I absolutely love it. Right.
It's like the planty hand.
Yeah. And you could also see why this is the perfect book for me to tackle.
For me.
We see the plant. Yes. For me. The planty hand emerging.
You sounded like Muscle Man from the regular show. Okay.
What's that?
Exactly. Yeah. Someone will get it.
Or anyway, it's a planty hand coming out from what I assume is the basement door.
Ooh.
Right. So I figured plants are involved. I'm not going to be disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
The story begins with Margaret and Casey.
Margaret.
Fuzzy on the ages. They kind of look, she's the older one. She looks maybe like she's 13 and he's maybe like 11 or 12.
Does she go by Marge?
No.
Oh, okay.
Margaret.
Okay, my bad.
Anyway, Brewer is the last name.
Okay.
They're tossing a Frisbee outside.
I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
It's important.
Frisbees are kind of automatically funny.
Right?
I mean, can anyone look cool throwing a Frisbee?
In the 70s, you could. Now, I don't know if Frisbees are cool
now. Wait a minute.
Now.
Were Frisbees cool in the 70s?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
They were.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Now,
by the time it got to the 90s, Laura, Frisbees were not the greatest.
Then it was hacky sacks.
That's what you wanted to be doing. If you wanted to be cool in the 90s, you were hacking and you were sacking. What is this Frisbee?
Frisbees were cool in the
70s. That in the 70s.
They're making a comeback.
Right.
Anyway, they're out tossing the old Frisbee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their dad, Dr. Brewer, who had always been very involved in the kids' lives and loved to toss a good Frisbee, seemed to be drifting away from the family and not really spending a lot of time with them.
Okay, ouch. Okay. Papa, can you hear me?
What, he's a doctor of what, Lee, you might ask?
Let me
tell you, he is a botanist.
Hey, I love botany.
And in case you didn't know what that is,
you better.
A scientist who specializes in the biology and research of plants.
I talked all about botany in my ET episode.
That's right, you did. I'm refreshing.
Okay.
Margaret specifically is worried about Pops. He hasn't called her one of his pet names in a minute, and she is sad.
Okay,
he called her Princess. And
the dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Princess. And the other one, not PC, Fatso. Really?
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Yikes.
Okay. Okay. There's a lot to unpack there.
We're just going to leave it there. Okay. We'll unpack it later.
Okay. Me and Laura are going to go cry together later. We've been triggered a little bit. It's okay. All right.
All right. Mrs. Brewer just chalks it up to the fact that Dr. Brewer has recently been fired from his position at the university.
Fucking good.
He's doing some wacky experiments.
Yeah.
So now he spends all of his time down in the basement doing his experiments with his plants.
Okay.
One day when Margaret and Casey venture down to the basement to see what Daddy's up to.
Don't say daddy.
Daddy-o appears out of nowhere.
Brian Setzer, what are you doing here?
Goody, goody, too. No, that's not him. That's Adamant. Anyway, I digress. Brian Setzer could do a cover of that, though. That'd be great. Anyway, Daddy-O appears out of nowhere, nursing a bleeding hand.
Okay.
And sternly commanding the kids to stay out of the basement.
Ooh, now I'm going to go in there even more.
Now, this isn't bad enough. Right. Mrs. Brewer is now being summoned to Arizona to help out her sister who is in need of surgery.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's poor auntie. That's your concern. Leaving dear old dad at large and in charge, right?
Great, yeah.
This worries the kids even more.
Uh-huh.
So when Dr. Brewer ascends from the basement to drive the missus to the airport, the kids see this as the perfect opportunity to see what the heck is happening down in that basement.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Casey, Margaret, and their friend Diane waste no time heading down the stairs.
Immediately going down
there. They want to see what kind of experiments Pops is working on.
Yeah.
Only to find it looks like a tropical jungle has sprouted up down there very quickly.
Lord, be like, you know what? I love this.
I love it. Some foliage. What kind of fertilizer are you giving these things? That's what I'm talking about.
This is nice.
Some of them even seem to be fruiting.
Are they fruiting?
It was run by fruiting.
That is an underrated Mrs. Doubtfire joke. When Robin Williams says it was a run by fruiting, that doesn't get talked about enough.
I just brought it back.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Anyway, not only does it look like a jungle, but the climate is humid down there. Okay. And it feels like a jungle.
It's moist.
Not able to take it anymore. Casey has to take off his shirt. He sets it down when they hear a strange noise, which sounds like breathing. Coming. Five packs a day. It's coming from the plants. Okay. They seem to be alive.
Oh.
Their tendrils reach out to say hello to the kids.
Hello.
They're smart enough to know that there are games afoot.
Right.
And it's time to get the heck out of the basement.
Yeah.
They quickly head up the stairs just in the nick of time because it seems like Dad has just pulled into the driveway.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, no. Casey realizes that he left his shirt downstairs.
Okay, Casey, you can't. You know what?
This would be a telltale sign for Dad that indeed the kids did not stay out of the basement. Casey quickly runs back down the stairs, but is grabbed around the waist by some plants.
Oh, no.
And I'm sweating. And this is bringing me back to my childhood. Did you ever try to get away? Well, don't tell me because I'm the mother. Try to get away with something from your parents.
Okay.
And think that you were in the clear, but it was like by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah,
and
Lord.
Then your heart's like, yeah, you're like, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to. I had no intention.
The things that I thought I was like so on top of it.
Mm. Lord, and honey, I love you so much. You know I do. But in what world or realm are you ever on top of it? Know yourself, you know?
You stinker. All right. Anyway, it's time to play beat the clock.
Okay.
Margaret is panicked. She runs downstairs to help Casey. Will they succeed in their betrayal?
They're just trying to get a shirt. You know what? Borrow a friend.
The answer to that question is no.
No. Daddy
found
them.
Caught in the act.
Oh, no.
Oddly, he doesn't yell at them or punish them, but calmly states that he will be able to explain what's been happening soon. But until then, stay out of the damn basement. To ensure this, he quickly adds a lock. He adds a lock to the basement door.
Okay.
As if things couldn't get any worse, Mom gives a ring to say that she has to stay with Aunt Eleanor a while longer.
Okay, Mom. Read the room, Mom.
The operation was not the success they hoped.
No.
They actually say that, and I'm like, you know, is there a backstory to this person? Why does she need surgery? But instead
why are you so concerned about aunt?
I mean, wouldn't you be?
No.
Jeez.
Not, and then,
you know what? Who's not concerned about the aunt? Margaret isn't. She takes this time to tell Mom that Dad is now taken to wearing a baseball cap 24/7. More important than auntie surgery, of course.
Laura, do you like resonate with this aunt?
I mean, I feel bad.
You forgotten aunt. I totally...
I'm a forgotten so many things.
Never.
Ouch. Anyway.
You're always in my heart.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, this is really odd for him because he doesn't like to wear baseball caps. He just didn't have the head shape for it, Lee.
Did they say that?
No.
That was my hair.
I mean, I feel like
if you look down the middle,
I mean, I feel like you have to have a certain head shape for baseball caps. Hat? I do not look good in a baseball cap. It's really bad.
You know what?
I like them on other people. Jake looks great
in a hat. And when he flips it backwards, something happens to me. Something takes over. I love him in a backwards hat. Me, it's my knit beanie or nothing.
Yeah, I cannot wear a baseball cap.
So what are you trying to tell me? That I have an odd shaped head? Is that what we're...
No, Dr. Brewer does.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Anyway, okay. Shortly after the baseball cap incident, Margaret witnesses dad scarfing something down in the kitchen sink. Is it a combo? Is it a chip? We don't know.
Did you combo?
You know, remember combos? They
still sell those? I think they're still here. Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
The pizza flavored. The pizza ones are good. Anyway, he's not eating any of that kind of stuff. Okay. He's eating plant food. This is growing weirder by the minute.
Plant food?
Growing weirder.
Okay.
But when Dr. Brewer's hat falls off, he seems to be growing leaves out of the top of his dome instead of hair.
You really did say dome. Like, you made that word choice.
He tells the kids it's just a temporary side effect to his top secret experiment.
Right.
And quickly returns to the basement. He doesn't question. Yeah, this is weird. All right.
My hair has never laid quite
right. Ivy. It looks like Ivy on the show. Anyway, things go from bad to worse when one, they witness dad's cut bleeding, not red. But green blood. Mom and dad's bed is covered in moist soil with a plethora of
worms.
Don't
ask questions. Don't kink shame.
With a plethora of worms crawling about. If I were that mother, I'd be so pissed. If I came home and saw that. If I came home and my bed was full of dirt and worms crawling around, oh my God, I'd be so mad.
You really would, Laura.
Anyway, then the next morning, dad prepares them this gross green mush for breakfast.
Okay.
That harkens me back to Better Off Dead when Lane Meyer's dessert crawls off his plate.
And crawls away.
Anyway, they're saved by the bell. They don't have to eat it. No, it's not Screech either. It's Mr. Martinez at the door.
Okay.
Dr. Brewer's boss, who arrived to inquire about his weird experiments.
Okay, why?
Let's speed round wrap up this.
Okay, give it to me.
All right, this is classic Invasion of the Body Snatchers, as you said, when the kids finally realize dear old dad of recent is actually a hybrid plant clone. They know this because they find dad tied up in the basement with Mr. Martinez.
Oh my God.
When confronted by both dads, it's hard to know who is who until one of the Dr. Brewers refers to Margaret as Princess.
Fatso, it's me.
I'm your real
dad. Checks out.
She knows he's the real deal. Right. Just to be sure, she cuts him with a knife to reveal red blood. The real Dr. Brewer chops up the clone oozes green.
Jeez.
And then Dr. Brewer burns the rest of his plants in the backyard, promising not to do any more wacky experiments in the future.
Leave that wacky lettuce alone.
That wacky weed. Weirdly, he doesn't burn all of the plants because when the kids are walking back to the house, a flower brushes against Margaret's ankle, and as she bends down, it whispers, "Margaret, help me. I'm your real Faja."
Wait, does it really? Yeah. Wait.
Spooky.
Wait, so he's in the... Wait, what?
So I think the experiments will continue.
So who's the real dad?
I don't know. It leaves you questioning, right?
It's spooky, okay.
It leaves you questioning.
It does.
All right, so then what is my lesson today?
You know what? Are you going planty on me?
I'm
going
to go planty.
Okay,
although I didn't actually know what to talk about, I ran a few ideas past you because they actually don't really talk about any specific plants in this, book. The only one that is mentioned in the book is the fern.
Ooh, I love a fern.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about ferns because upon doing some research, I found out that they have a long history of magic.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay. There were tons of ferns in Seattle. I loved it.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's dive on in. I'm going to begin by getting out the old lab coat.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
I'm going to be talking a little botany here.
Ooh, botany talk.
And that's going to help us understand the magical lore.
I can already tell you're getting serious. Okay.
I am serious. Yeah. All right. The fern dates back more than 300 million years.
Whoa.
And is one of the oldest plant groups on the earth.
Oh, shit.
They were here about 200 million years before flowering plants.
Okay.
And they were here well before dinosaurs, animals, any of that stuff.
You know what? Impressive.
They have remained steadfast and barely unchanged throughout their history.
Okay.
Outliving many that came after them.
Mm.
There you go. Tenacious, you might say.
The D.
Yeah. So folks way back then, they had no idea that the fern actually does not have seeds or flowers like other typical plants. And we'll talk about it. But they just assumed that all plants flowered and all plants had seeds.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So this laid the groundwork for many legends and folkloric tales about the fern.
Oh, I see.
In many different cultures, almost all cultures have folklore on the fern.
Really?
Yes.
Why does that surprise? I didn't
know. Because they magically seem to appear out of nowhere.
Ooh, I like it. Okay.
So according to Scott Cunningham in his book, Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs.
Love them.
We love them. Ferns are considered masculine energy.
Okay.
Ruled by Mercury.
Ooh, interesting.
And their element is air.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. They are associated with luck, riches, protection, and invisibility.
Invisibility?
Yes.
Ah, so they're a little sneaky.
Sneaky. Mm. There are over 11,000 different species ranging in size comparable to a dime.
Seriously?
Yes. Up to like 65 feet high. A fern tree, you might say.
You know what? I would love a fern tree.
Ooh, 65. That's pretty big. The word fern translates from the word fern, meaning feather. Fern. You always laugh at me when I try to say words.
Fern.
That's
okay,
how
what
I
did it translate
it.
To?
Feather.
Ooh, okay, pretty.
They kind of look feathery,
it does
right?
It kind of look feathery.
They go by many magical names, including maidenhair, moonwort, and fairy moss.
Ooh, I like fairy moss. Ooh, I like fairy moss a lot.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Speaking of fairies, ferns live harmoniously among the fairy realms. Mm-hmm. Some even believe that Oberon, king of the fairies, guarded the magical seeds.
That doesn't surprise me. They do have a very, and as soon as you said air, I was like, that makes sense to me. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
And the deity associated with fern is Puck. So you have Oberon, you have Puck. So if you remember back when I did Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes.
There we go. We have all of these folks.
Nice.
And it was also no accident that in 1992, the animated classic Fern Gully was named as such.
Cute.
Yes. So, due to the fact that the propagation, of this,
you've got your lab coat on.
I do.
You really do.
Of this mystery plant seemed to baffle scientists for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. Like they could not figure out what was going on.
Wow.
It just made the legend grow.
Okay.
That since no one had ever found the seeds of ferns, that naturally they must be invisible.
Ah.
So it would only make sense that if anyone was in possession of a fern seed, they also wielded the power of invisibility.
Ooh, nature's invisibility cloak.
Yes.
That was a
invisibility. Ferns acted as protection against witches, werewolves, and evil spirits.
You know what?
Evil Ed.
Joke's on you, motherfucker.
Bam. Evil spirits.
Okay.
Carrying fern would protect you against magical charms and incantations.
Mm.
And shepherds often wove ferns into crosses to protect themselves and their livestock from all manner of magical beasts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm. In Slavic countries, if you wanted to take a bath or a dip in the stream.
I love a dip in the stream.
Me too.
Yeah.
You would first weave some ferns into your hair.
Oh, my hair's so long.
I think you can still do
okay.
it. Okay. If you were bald, though, you're
just
screwed.
Stick them.
Yeah.
Super glue. On there. Yeah.
Anyway, it would protect you against the Rusalki. Hopefully I said that right, which is a freshwater siren.
I feel like that's come up before.
Yes, I think it has, who are known to drown mortals whenever possible.
Ew.
In Russian folktales, it explains that a farmer had lost his cattle. And while out roaming through the fern field, sounds fun, in search of them, a fern seed landed on his shoe.
Okay.
Instantly, he knew where to find the cattle. He quickly recovered them.
Okay.
And on his way home, he gets this vision of buried treasure.
Okay. I pictured Raven.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Getting a vision.
And where exactly to find it.
Okay.
So, sadly, when he goes home to get a shovel to dig for that treasure, he changes his shoes into his boots.
Okay.
Which doesn't have the fern seed on it. And oh, so he instantly cannot remember.
He can't remember.
Where the treasure was hidden.
Oh, wow.
A lot of this, a lot of these myths revolve around riches and treasures.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
In Slavic folklore, if you find a fern flower, you are all knowing and all seeing.
I love it.
You know where all of the buried treasure is.
Hell yeah.
And you can also understand and speak to animals.
Oh, ouch.
Fun, okay. Right? In Finland, there is a hidden place known as, and I know I'm not going to say this right, Arnavalkia.
You know what? Sounded great.
Okay. It's inhabited by the Will of the Wisps, which we've talked about.
I loved that.
And they glow, signifying where fairy gold is hidden.
Cute.
If you happen to have a fern seed, you will be led to all of these treasures under the cloak of invisibility.
Ouch.
And have
cute.
All the wealth you ever dreamed of.
That's so beautiful.
Yes.
It really is.
If you thought it was like finding a needle in a haystack to come across a fern seed,
yeah.
Try finding the flower. Equally as elusive.
Yeah.
It was believed that they only bloomed at midnight, giving way to a beautiful blue blossom.
A blue blossom.
A blue bosom. Blue.
A bosom.
Say that.
Is a bosom a boob? Have we talked about this before?
We have.
I feel like I've asked you that exact question.
I said
question.
Blossom.
No, you said bosom.
I said blossom.
No, I said blossom. You said bosom. Someone run it back. You said blue bosom.
I digress. Anyway, it contained one single golden seed.
Okay.
Others claimed at midnight a bright red blossom would take bloom, only to be swiftly snatched up. By the devil himself.
Snatch.
Beelzebub. He took it.
The bubs.
Yeah, the bubs.
Snatch.
Still, other tales claim the fern blooms only once per year on Midsummer's Eve or the summer solstice, vanishing with the rooster's first crow. I think that's cock-a-doodle-doo. Sounded like you said caca.
I think I might have just peed myself.
If you are the lucky recipient of one of these flowers, all the wealth in the world would be granted to you.
Well, shit, it went over.
But as you may have guessed, there is always a catch, right?
Okay.
Here's the catch. You're not allowed, you're not allowed to share it.
What? The wealth?
You're not allowed to share the wealth or it will disappear.
Well, what are, you know what?
Right.
Define that.
You cannot share it.
So I can't buy you like a
stick of gumball. You can't buy me a gumball. No.
Okay.
I can't get a quarter for the gumball machine.
Seriously?
You can't share it.
Well, you know what?
If you share one dime.
Yeah. You're done.
Gone. Poof.
Wow.
Gone.
Okay.
You know what that means?
What?
It forces one to become selfish.
Ew.
Isolated.
Nobody likes that.
And a cold hearted person. If you want to keep it, riches. You know what? You die alone with your gold. This begs the old adage. You know what? Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
You might get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it wouldn't be until the late 1500s when a German botanist did an experiment by laying out some white sheets beneath some ferns.
Okay.
For four consecutive midsummer nights, he did this. And you know what? He found no seeds and no magical flowers. And all he noticed was some black specks on the sheet.
I've reached, every now and then I reach a point where everything you say is funny. Like everything you say is funny, you know, and I've reached it.
I'm glad I can entertain somebody.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear what I said?
Black, what did I just say? Black specks.
Black specks.
Yeah.
Anyway, it wouldn't be then until 1848 when it was finally figured out that those black specks were actually spores known as sori. They are found underneath the fern's frond, like the leaves.
What are we talking about?
The spores. They're underneath the frond or the leaves of the fern.
Okay, yeah.
And a single fern can contain millions of them. Now, I could go on and bore you with the life cycle of ferns, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
These botany details Well, you know, go look up the life cycle of a fern. It's fascinating.
You know what? Go have fun. Let loose. Because, get wild.
Yeah, because they neither produce seeds or flowers. Okay. Thus shedding the light on all of those magical legends, right?
Right.
With that said, take a walk through the woods or the forest.
Okay.
And you try to tell me that the fern is not magical because I'm not going to believe it.
Definitely magical.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. If you've spent any time on the Pacific Northwest, right?
Well, they grow all over around here. They do, but I just. Not as big.
They were just huge in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. They absolutely. Were gorgeous.
And magical. Yeah. Well, you know, Shakespeare and Hans Christian Andersen both wrote about the magic of ferns. And, really? You know, I'm not questioning those two.
No, absolutely not. No. You love them.
Yeah. So did you think I was going to get that lesson out of my story?
That was really good. Interesting, I knew you were going to get some plant magic out of there.
There you go.
And I was excited.
I'm going to continue with that. You want some fern and random facts?
Okay. All right. Good night.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I slay myself sometimes.
Okay.
Anyway, Stein has said his favorite novels in the series are The Haunted Mask, which is the 11th book.
That one's spooky.
And Brain Juice, which is the 12th.
Ew, I don't like the word juice. I don't like the word brain juice. Like, I don't like it together. Juicy, moist, wet.
That's the
2000s. Why did I have to explain
it? You said all the words you don't like. Saliva.
Ew, strawberry.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, The Haunted Mask was inspired by a real event.
Okay.
When Stein's son was unable to remove his Halloween costume on Halloween.
Go ahead, say it. I know you're going to say it. It happened to me.
You had an incident.
I did have an incident.
Yeah,
we tried to put a Chinese lantern on my head and paint it like Jack Skellington so I could be like 3D with a round head. And it got stuck on my giant ass melon.
We
got
it at Pier 1.
We had to wire cut it off. Rest in peace, Pier 1. We had to cut it off my head.
Yeah, we had to wire cut that sucker off.
Yeah, we did. But you know what? That makes sense. That episode and book of fucking Goosebumps is spooky as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember having the VHS of The Haunted Mask, and I don't even think I would watch it. It was too scary when I was little.
It's like Halloween 3.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Nice.
All right. Usually he would come up with the book title before actually writing the story.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I would probably work in a similar way.
You think?
Yeah, because you have like one theme to stick to if you have the title.
Mm-hmm.
It like all fits under that. You know
umbrella.
What I mean?
Yeah. All right. So back in the 90s, Goosebumps was at the top of the American Library Association's challenged books list.
Okay.
For being too scary.
Y'all had your panties in a twist like a little too much, you know? What?
There's so many books on the banned book list, right? What's that Stephen King says? Somebody bans a book, get to the library or the bookstore and get it as soon as possible.
Want to read it. Yeah.
Each cover took artist Tim Jacobus. Yes. Over 30 hours to complete.
Over 30 hours. You know what? That doesn't surprise me though. They're so gorgeous.
They are beautiful. They were made with acrylics and by airbrushing.
Whoa.
Yeah. Ooh.
Gorgeous.
So some of these books are more rare than others.
The Goosebumps.
Because they were not reprinted, so they're only first editions.
You know what? You need a first dish.
Legend of the Lost Legend. Ooh. Hey, if you find these books, you better snatch them up.
I was going to say, I have to go through our collection. What if we have some of them? Okay.
Werewolf Skin.
Ew.
Ooh. I Live in Your Basement. Hey, basements must be scary. They are scary. We've had some scary basements.
Have we talked about like... That's an interesting, I mean, I guess basements are just scary.
Yeah.
I guess there's not much more to it than they're just creepy.
We lived in one where I think there were dead people buried.
Ew, why would you say that?
But, honestly. I mean, you said it. You said it when we lived there.
Yeah, I wouldn't
go
down
there. I'm seeing ghosts.
No.
Yeah. It was so scary.
We'll talk about that later.
That's a story for another day. And Monster Blood 4.
I don't think
Any of these? Better snag them up. They're going to be worth some cashola.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Hell yeah.
That's my fun.
I don't think
that's my fern facts.
Those are your fern facts.
Yeah.
I love that. Up top lore.
Woo!
All right. Now tell me.
Yeah.
As someone who didn't really, you know, you weren't part of the Goosebumps wave. Mm-hmm. Do you get it?
Oh, I get it. I think it's awesome. Yeah.
Now that you've spent a little time with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think what we had when I was a kid. I guess we had Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. That's what we had.
That's not horror. That's mystery.
No, but it's mystery.
Yeah, that's
you know?
What I mean. They were really doing something in the 90s.
I think that's probably why I love the original Scooby-Doo, because there wasn't like television really either.
You could draw a line from Scooby-Doo to this, for sure. Yeah,
yeah,
but it was, I will say, the first one started off a little spooky.
It's a little too much.
I liked doing the one and two, seeing how he went from like, ooh, let's rail that in a little bit.
Found the formula. Yours
definitely seemed a little sillier.
Add some humor.
Mine reminded me a lot of Crybaby Lane. Very, very similar vibe.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Okay.
I love Goosebumps. Definitely say if you can find books, and I mean, you can usually, I don't know about now that they're kind of the books are coming back into, but you used to be able to find them at thrift stores the time.
I got you that one score that one day.
You found like a massive collection. Like, and if you have kids and you're into this, you know what I mean? It is good to, have kids learn about horror, and like we said, it is a safe space, so go get them some Goosebumps books. Come on now.
I mean, there's just something about collecting old media
that's what I said. It you made love, you want to collect.
Jake loves it. Yeah,
there is something so satisfying when you line up your Goosebumps books and it's like 1, 2, 3 and you see all the beautiful colors and you're like, fuck yeah, I have like a chunk of this collection.
Same with your VHS, really.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're collectors for sure, but I do think Goosebumps, like, I think that was one of the first times for me growing up in that era that I like started doing that.
Collecting
because it like asked you to.
True. Yeah, because I think like once you moved out of VHS and into DVDs, those covers, I mean, it was not about the cover artwork.
Not the same. DVDs are not the same. I wonder if anyone would like to listen to us talk about that, because I could do a whole thing about why like VHS and like, I don't know. I mean, I guess DVDs would cross into that, but like there's something about physical media.
Yeah.
And I feel like these Goosebumps books hit at like the right fucking time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine it coming out now and people losing, like seeing that cover in person and going to the book fair and finding it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just
something magical. Yeah.
Something magical that like had to happen at the exact time it happened. And I'm so grateful. I love Goosebumps.
Yay.
Yay. I'm happy Goosebumps week. Woo-hoo. Up top.
Yay.
Hey, we'll catch you next week.
Catch you on the flippity flop.
We love you.
TTFN.
Cut, print, check the gate. Moving on.